Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Volunteer Country on SI Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jack Foster. I know it's been a while, but since we've graced your pod feed, but here we are recording on a Monday night, December 13th. But you will be hearing this December 14th or later, as we are going to publish tomorrow morning. And today, people, I got a brand new guest with me. No Matt, no Jake Nichols. I got Riley Halton, who's a good friend of mine and coworker of mine in student media with the Volunteer Channel. But Riley, man, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. Just been chilling. Got home for winter break. It's been good to see my friends and all that here at home. Excited for Christmas and all that, but I'm ready to get back to my home away from home on Rocky Top, man. I love it up there.
Yeah, it's great. It's great being a student journalist too, you know, really getting immersed in everything going on. But, you know, 'tis the holidays and everybody loves the holidays. Today, everybody, Riley and I are going to be talking about some Tennessee basketball, mainly recapping the past week with the men, as you know, splitting their games against Texas Tech and then beating UNC Greensboro. Then the Lady Vols as well. We're going to give them a shout out. Only had one game this past week, but it was a dominant win against Georgia State. We're going to kind of touch on how the season has gone so far as well. And Riley, the Lady Vols are undefeated right now, and it's important to stay undefeated, not just in sports, but in life as well. Getting victories every day is something everyone strives for. And when booking travel, Riley, I always win thanks to Acker Travel Company by Dream Vacations. And everybody else can too. Because if you're looking to book travel anytime during the year, especially around the holiday season, be sure and give our friends Beth and Price a call at Acker Travel Company by Dream Vacations and let them do all the monotonous work of booking that travel for you. And on top of it, they'll throw in a $50 Visa gift card for free. I mean, what is there to lose? Go ahead and give them a call now at 678-983-2172 or visit their website at backer.dreamvacations.com to book. That number again is 678-983-2172. All right, Riley, let's get into it. We're well into basketball season. It's the sixth week, and let's start with Rick Barnes' Basket Vols. They're 7-2, 18th in the latest top 25 poll, you know, dropping five spots from 13th last week. The third in the SEC behind Bama and Auburn. We got a mixed bag this past week. Obviously, the Texas Tech game, that was a horrible, you know, loss with all the shooting woes, and then a blowout win against UNC Greensboro. So I just want to get your biggest overall takeaways from this past week of hoops.
All right, so I got two major takeaways. You know, Kennedy Chandler, he's got a lot of growing to do, man, and he has a lot of time to do that since he is a true freshman, but he needs to do it now or this team is going to struggle. 9 points against Texas Tech and 9 against UNCG. Two very different teams, and he played almost double the minutes against Texas Tech. He absolutely has to step it up, or we'll easily see yet another first-round exit for these basketballs under Rick Barnes. And secondly, I got the bench play. Tennessee's bench has been playing super well, so the main guys can get a breather without having to worry about a lead disappearing like that. Depth is so important in must-win games, so I hope to see that bench continue to contribute in big ways for this team.
And who would you say has been the most key player coming off the bench for Tennessee so far?
Hard to say for sure, but because, I mean, so many of them have contributed in big ways. But if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with BHH, Brandon Huntley Hatfield.
Yeah, I'd like to very well. I'd like to see him, you know, get more minutes. He had a pretty good day against UNC Greensboro. Now, I think he had definitely a double-digit points, but I think he only had about 12 to 15 minutes range, you know?
Right.
He just isn't getting a whole lot of minutes, and I think that has to do with just him being a little immature. You know, he's reclassified. He's still getting into this, you know, basically professional type of basketball play in SEC school. So it's going to take a while for him to really get there mentally probably, but physically, dude, he looks amazing on the court, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm with you that 100%. He is an absolute physical beast. He goes out there, he makes physical plays, he makes you earn every point, every inch of the paint that you try to get in. He's going to be there, and he's going to make you work for it. So, and you love to see a player like that who gives in all that effort on both ends of the ball.
And coming into the season, you know, everybody was wanting to see this three-point shooting kind of improve from last season, and you're losing Jaden Springer, Keon, some guys who could, you know, dish from beyond the arc, but just you make 17 threes in the first game. And Kennedy Chandler looks phenomenal, and all the hype is just building so fast. This three-point shooting capability, you know, Santiago's improving, all this happening. But then you look at a game like Texas Tech, and they went 6 of 40. And then obviously they lose, but they hung around because their defense was good. Do you think that three-point shooting, you know, is their ability to have a high potential? You know, if they're bad at three-point shooting, they're going to suck. How do you look at that?
I don't think it's just the three-point shooting. I mean, if you look at their overall on the day, they're 19 of 71.
That's right. Insane. Yes. Yeah.
26%, almost 27, but I mean, regardless, that's not great.
Right.
It's ridiculous. And it looked like a middle school team trying to shoot those threes, 6 of 40. That's wild. And it's not just on someone like Kennedy Chandler. You know, the whole team has got to really step it up, especially against a decent team like Texas Tech. It was just a bad showing. They were taking bad shots, taking early threes, early in the offense. They've got to find those open shots and make them when they do get open. And that was a huge problem for them. I think this team is really defined by their shooting. When they're mm-hmm. shooting well, they can beat anybody. When they're not shooting well, they can get beat by anybody. So it's a big thing for them, and they really have got to clean it up.
But you think – you saying that shooting defines this team, you don't necessarily think it has to be three-point shooting. You're saying if they have a, you know, ho-hum three-point night that they can still, you know, play well offensively.
Oh, 100%. They have people in the underneath, you know, in the paint that can make really good, really big shots. Santiago Vescovi is known to drive in there and make some plays happen. I mean, but you've got to hit those layups too. I mean, it's not just the three-point shot. It's the mid-range. It's the layups. It's the easier shots that you think these players need to be making more consistently. They're just not doing it. That's a big detriment to any type of offense.
Right. And you mentioned Santiago Vescovi. He's averaging almost 14 points a game, second on the team behind KC. How have you seen him grow from last year? Barnes said he was going to be the most improved player from last year. How have you personally seen it?
Gosh, Santiago Vescovi, man, he has stepped up to the plate. It's an offense where everyone thought Kennedy Chandler was going to be that guy. And Santiago Vescovi has stepped into that role for the struggling freshman, and he has thrived there. I mean, he had one of his worst games against Tech, and is probably one of the biggest culprits for the struggling offense in that game. But he got back on track against UNCG with 10, especially since he only played 24 minutes. I mean, in almost every other game this season, he has been the guy for Rick Barnes and his offense. And all of a sudden, opposing teams are looking to him as the major offensive threat. I mean, he's just grown so much. So good to see a player like him grow that much. And he really has stepped up into a major role for this offense.
And one thing I think you see from Santiago is he's willing to take more threes, even when the Vols are struggling. You know, the two games you think of when you think of Tennessee struggling this season is Villanova and Texas Tech. Well, Santiago attempted a lot of threes in those two games. You know, he wasn't afraid to shoot. And in Villanova, he actually did pretty well. He scored over 20 points in that game, if I remember correctly. But, you know, he's just not afraid to do it. And he's kind of talked about that occasionally. You know, last year he was a little tentative, and obviously he's grown as a shooter, but he's willing to, you know, take those shots as well. He's not afraid. So I think that's doing well for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, growth physically, you know, actually getting his shot down is super important, but I would argue more importantly, you got to grow mentally. And I mean, that confidence that he's shown this season, it's a testament to his growth mentally. And yeah, that confidence in day in and day out in practice and games, it's going to show up. I think that is the reason he has stepped up and he's become the offensive threat. He's not scared. He'll take that shot.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about Zakai Ziegler a little bit. You know, he's obviously a guy off the bench, a freshman point guard, you know, backup to Kennedy Chandler, basically. But he's been logging 20-plus minutes quite a bit this season. He's been really great, just bringing the energy. He has some stuff to work on, but, you know, he's just a little bolt of lightning out there. How have you seen Ziegler, you know, really step up to the plate for the Vols as well?
I mean, yeah, if you can't tell, I'm not the happiest guy with Kennedy Chandler right now. I believe he'll be a great player, and I also believe that he knows the way he played this last week is unacceptable, and I expect him to step it up very soon. But Zakai has shown that he can come in and be a major contributor off that bench when Kennedy Chandler is struggling, and even when he's not, he can come in, give him a breather, revitalize the offense. I mean, he, like you said, he's a little bolt of lightning. He gets out there, he energizes things. That's the best way to say it. He energizes things. He breathes life into this offense and on defense. He's flying around the court. He's showing that he can be a contributor, especially while KC is struggling.
Yeah, absolutely. I love watching the dude play. He's obviously not the best player for Tennessee, you know, in any stretch, but as far as just entertainment purposes, he's number one for me. I love watching the dude, and I love talking to the dude and media availability. He's such a genuine guy, and he seems to have a really good rapport with Barnes. And you know, obviously, he's going to be with Tennessee probably for all 4 years of his college, so it's going to be fun to watch him grow.
No, I agree with you. He's showing a lot of, I mean, he's already showing a lot of growth.
Yeah.
Just this season. And so to see that and the way that changes as these years pass, and to see him, I mean, you know, you could see him coming in, starting a few games for someone that's struggling or,
right.
You know, I really do think he has that potential in him. So I'll be interested to see how he develops over these years and how he continues to develop just this season on the bench.
Yeah, I don't think Barnes is opposed to a Ziegler KC, you know, formation. He's done it at times, not a lot, but he's done it at times. And you say, you know, Santi gets injured or someone like that. I don't think he has any qualms putting Ziegler at the one and then KC at the two. I think that'd be a lot of fun. It'd be very fast, too.
Oh, yes.
But let's talk about the defense a little bit here. And obviously, sixth year senior John Fulkerson, you know, coming back to Tennessee this season, a fan favorite. He's kind of been leading this defense, missed the first game with the thumb injury, but he's been awesome, you know, block leader, rebound leader, had 10 boards and 5 blocks against Tech. He was the reason, to me, that Tennessee was able to play such great D and send that game into overtime. Just what do you think about Folky's defensive play, and is he the best defensive player for the Vols so far this season?
I think he is. I've loved watching him play on defense. I love watching big players get in the paint and make things happen. You know, like you said, he's the block leader. I love seeing a good block on a basketball court. You know, gets everybody fired up. And defensively, getting things fired up defensively is an important thing for a team to do. Having that confidence to go up there and make that play on defense, create a turnover, give it back to your offense, give your offense another chance to score, especially on a day like where in Texas Tech, they're struggling as they are, giving them as many chances to get that offense back on track, it's an important step for them. And so all things considered, the team as a whole is playing pretty good defense and not elite, but pretty good in most cases. And holding UNCG to 36, I mean, that's not something to be too happy about. UTK is in another tier from UNCG, but hey, only 36. I mean, that's an above average defensive performance.
And it's the lowest point total an opponent has ever had in TBA history. You know, Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a cool stat, but I get what you're saying. It's UNCG. Yeah, it's just, you take it with a grain of salt.
Exactly. So I think the more impressive performance is holding Texas Tech to 57. You know, that's not something to be ashamed of. I mean, if that offense had produced in a way that a top 25 team should, the Vols would have beat the Red Raiders handily.
Yeah.
So I was super impressed with Texas Tech holding them to 57. That's a good team, and I think they deserve to be ranked. They're a very good team, but they need to show up offensively to match that energy on defense.
Right, and Texas Tech they're now ranked 25th after beating the Vols. I assume that is the reason, but yeah, you're right. I think the defense against Tech is what kept them in the game, because that offense was just abysmal, man. It was so hard to watch. I was happy, you know, that got to watch more ball, you know, going into overtime. Who doesn't love overtime? But at the same time, it's like, man, both these offenses just really struggling. I don't know what's going to happen here. And Texas Tech got the best of them. But let's talk about this week's set of games with Tennessee. You know, you got USC Upstate coming to town tomorrow night, which is tonight if you're listening on Tuesday. And then you got Memphis on Saturday in Bridgestone. So let's start with Upstate. Vols took care of business against UNCG, beat him by 40. What do they need to do against Upstate to continue building that confidence going into a marquee in-state matchup on Saturday?
I mean, they just got to do what they've been doing, man. They've been producing on defense. That's an important thing to do. And you get in there, you do what you need to do. You execute well defensively. You don't slack off as the lead grows. They kept at it on both sides of the ball against UNCG, forcing a lot of turnovers, 25 of them. Along with 13 steals and 2 blocks, you know, that's a huge stat for Tennessee against UNCG. So if you can do something like that again against Upstate, that's going to be a huge contributor for the defense to keep them in the game, USC Upstate out of the game.
Right, I got you.
So to continue doing that, I think it should be another thrashing kind of in the way of UNCG. probably not quite as bad. I don't think they can replicate that performance so soon afterward. So I'm thinking 77 to 59 for the Vols, somewhere in that area.
Okay.
I like that. I like that a lot.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, USC Upstate's letting opponents average about 75 points a game right now. They're 2-7. It's USC Upstate. You know, the Vols are going to win by a lot. But I see what Riley's saying. You want to see another defensive performance. Honestly, against UNCG, I thought their shooting, while it was a lot better than Tech, wasn't, you know, they're still missing some open looks, specifically KC. I want to see most of those shots fall for the Tennessee. You know, I want to see a lot of three-pointers made because you know this team can do it. They did it against Presbyterian. They did it in the first game of the season against UT Martin. And that moves us into Memphis because it's going to be key to make those three-pointers against Memphis. They're not ranked anymore. Memphis isn't. They're still a, you know, really good team. What do you expect to see on Saturday when they go toe-to-toe in Nashville?
Yeah, Memphis is going to be a very different story from USC Upstate so soon after. You got to hope that they really work out the kinks against USC Upstate because Memphis is going to be a tough game. Yeah, they've dropped four in a row, Iowa State, Georgia, Ole Miss, and then most recently Murray State. But and that's pretty bad for a team that was so ranked so highly coming into the season. So they'll be looking to get back on track just as the Vols are looking to get back on track. So I doubt they'll beat themselves. I mean, this one will be close. I think the Vols have really got to execute, especially, like you said, on offense, hitting those open looks. Kennedy Chandler has got to get back on it. So I'm looking 73-70 win for the basketballs.
Oh, nice. That's going to be a tight one then. I love it. I love it. And do you think Memphis, you know, you said they dropped four in a row. You expect them to be really hungry? Because it's an important game, you know, against Tennessee, the in-state rival.
Oh, yeah. In-state rivalries are always going to be fun games. I mean, unless it's Tennessee football versus Vandy, it's going to be a tight one. They're going to really go at each other. Tennessee sports fans are very, very competitive. They always want to be better. They all want to claim the top spot in the state. So at least in my experience, I have a good friend who's a big Memphis fan. So he's talking all this trash going into this matchup. So I expect it to be close. I mean, rivalry games always are. So I'm looking, yeah, about very close, one score difference. I think it'll come down to the wire against Memphis. They're not a bad team by any means. Yeah, they've lost four in a row. But I do think that they will try to keep it close with Tennessee.
And you know, this will be Tennessee's fourth in-state matchup this year already. They played Tech, East Tennessee State, UT Martin, and now Memphis. That's crazy, man. And then Vanderbilt will make five later on. That's a lot of in-state matchups.
Yeah.
It's just fun fact. I saw when I was looking at the schedule. But Riley, one last thing for men's basketball here, keeping it with Memphis theme. Who has to be the X factor in this game?
Hard to say for sure. Any number of people could come in and really change this offense, this defense. So that I, like I said, in a tight game, anyone really could come out and stand out,
right,
be the difference maker. But if I have to, like I said earlier, if I have to pick one, I will probably go with Kennedy Chandler. I know I've been hard on him, but he needs to, if he can, figure it out, hit those open looks. Find those open passes, not turn the ball over, be safe with the ball, get a lot of minutes in. I think he really, I mean, we've seen it before. He can be the X factor and has been a couple times already, but he's just got to execute well. And I do think he can do that. So can he do it against Memphis? I sure hope so. And if he can, I think it'll be a ticket for the Vols winning, maybe by more than three.
Yeah, to me, that's the only right answer is KC. I mean, like you said, he's been the X factor before, having 27 against Colorado, obviously a career high in his young season or young career with the Vols. But yeah, he's the X factor, man. I've been telling everybody all year, he is the potential of this Vols team. You know, if KC's not playing a really good, you know, at a high level, the Vols can still be good, but they're not going to be great. I think KC is their ticket to, you know, making it deep into the postseason, winning games like this at a neutral site against Memphis. I know Memphis is 5-4. KC is the X factor. All right, Riley, let's get into a sport I know we've both covered very exclusively all year, and that is women's basketball. Lady Vols just killing it this year. Best start under Kelly Harper. What, 8-0, 9-0, something like that. Yeah, I think they're 9-0 now. Yes, so they've been incredible all year, losing Ray Burrell in the first game and rebounding at a very high level. What's the reason they've been able to stay undefeated?
lots of contribution from several different players. I mean, particularly Jordan Horston and Tamari Key. I mean, they have really stepped up in games where, and more recently, actually, Jordan Walker as well. So, and without Ray Burrell being there to be that leading scorer, so obviously somebody had to step up and be the go-to scorer. And Jordan Horston has done that in several games. More recently, she struggled a little bit. And in those games, players like Tamari Key, Jordan Walker, they've stepped up and said, look, if you can't carry it for this one, we can. So to see that all these several different players are able to come together and put together efforts that elevate this team above tight games like Texas, USF, you know, to be able to elevate the game offensively and defensively. Each player has their strengths and weaknesses. So to see them all work together, that synergy that they have together, it's a really heartening thing. So, because we don't know, you know, Ray Burrell's status. Will she be able to come back this year? When she does, I mean, she has a lot of support there for her.
Yes, absolutely. And I kind of have am eating my words now at this point in the season, because so early on, I was like, oh, Jordan Horston is just the new Ray Burrell. She is the offense. She's the X factor. But I don't know, man. Tamari Key, 6 double-doubles. I mean, 16 points against Georgia State. And then you mentioned Jordan Walker. She was the reason they won against Virginia Tech. You know, that was another one that was just a resilient fourth quarter comeback win. They were down by 3 going into the final frame there, and they just continue to win. And many players continue to step up. I mean, even in the blowout against Tennessee Tech, we saw Tess Darby make 4 threes, something we hadn't seen all year, and then it just happened out of nowhere. You know, and Sarah Puckett stepping up recently. I think she has 2 or 3 games with double digits so far this season. That's incredible for a true freshman. So, yeah, absolutely, man. And let's talk about these offensive rebounds they're able to get. They offensive rebounded Georgia State 26-11 on Sunday. Just what does that say about Kelly Harper's MO as a coach and, you know, this ability, this team's ability to get, you know, second chance points?
You know, we talk so much with the Lady Vols about Pat Summitt and her impact, and you still see it. I mean, it's evident. This is her philosophy that she passed down to Kelly Harper during her time at Tennessee. Kelly Harper's now come and made that the staple of her team. And it's paying off. These second chance points are part of the reason Tennessee is staying into this season without Ray Burrell. If you can't produce on offense, if you can go up there, get the rebound, I mean, get those easy points, second chance. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to make a huge difference. And it does. So I do think Kelly Harper has done an amazing job taking that, making that a staple of her team. And I think a lot of teams, you know, you hear it in all these post-game pressers, these opposing coaches come in and say, we know that they're going to go for rebounds. We know that they're going to be hard on the glass, and they just can't do anything about it because this team is coached so well in that area.
Yeah, and Tamari Key's a huge reason, you know. That's where she's been clutch. But I want to just talking about a specific player. I know we mentioned Horston and Key have been so good. Who has surprised you, stuck out to you the most this season on the Lady Vols?
Oh, gosh. I'm sure you already know who I'm going to say. You know how much I love this player. Brooklyn Miles coming off that bench. She is a huge defensive presence. I mean, maybe small in stature, but boy, is she quick. She'll get to the ball. She'll stay on the ball. You see her, I think she's produced 2 or 3 10-second turnovers.
She did against Texas for sure. That was huge.
Oh, yeah. Huge. And I mean, that shifts the momentum. So, and you see her on several occasions. She's shutting down the person she's guarding. They're always having to get the ball out, force someone else to make that play. If their prime offensive player is their point guard, that point guard is going to have to change their whole strategy. They're going to have to get that ball out to someone else and force them to make the play. And I mean, it's not just Brooklyn Miles putting up a big defensive performance. Every single one of these Lady Vols is putting up defensive performances night in and night out. So it's not going to be easy for any team to score on this team. The defense for this team has been outstanding. And I think Brooklyn Miles coming off the bench is a huge part of that.
Yeah. And, you know, your prediction there, your opinion there is, you know, backed up well based off of last night's game against Georgia State, because Brooklyn Miles had a career game against the Panthers. 11 points, 3 assists, 4 boards, you know, blanket on D, as you said, 20 minutes. And, you know, she made 2 3-pointers. So we hadn't seen her do that at all this season. She hadn't made any coming into this game. And now she's got another dimension to her game. She's just really special. And I agree with you, man. So let's move on. Lady Vols, kind of similar to last week. They don't have any midweek games. Next game is Stanford, Saturday, December 18th in Thompson Bowling Arena. Going to be a huge one. The biggest crowd for sure since Texas. It will probably beat Texas because it's the reigning national champions, that is, in the Stanford Cardinal. Riley, what do you expect to see in this game? How does Tennessee win?
This is going to be a rough one for these Lady Vols. Their biggest test by far. It's going to be rough. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be close. And what we need to see is these Lady Vols produce on offense, something they've struggled from time to time, hitting these threes. It's not something that they're known for this part of the season. And other teams come into this game knowing that. They go to Thompson Bowling Arena knowing Tennessee struggles with those threes. So if they're not going to give up anything in the paint, they're going to make you score from the three-point arc. And I think Tennessee has really got to step up their game at the three-point arc. You know, you have players like Sarah Puckett that have been hitting them pretty well all season. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Walker more recently. And Tess Darby has had one or two breakout performances from three. You're going to need to see those players hit those shots consistently against Stanford. Or otherwise, there's absolutely no chance that they'll be able to beat Stanford. They're going to be the hardest team that we've taken on so far. And so to protect home court, you know, obviously – that's a huge thing for these Lady Vols, protecting that home court, you know, the Summit, everybody. And it's going to be an electric environment for sure against Stanford. That's going to be it's going to draw a huge crowd for Thompson Bowling Arena. Mm-hmm. So you need to see these Lady Vols protect that home court, hit those threes, do what they've been doing on defense. Don't change that. Don't sacrifice the rebounding, the blanket defense that they've become known for this season. Don't sacrifice that, but go on offense and make those open look threes, or, you know, make the open look. That's something they've struggled to do from time to time. So don't shoot it too early. Find the offense, let it flow. That's going to be the most important thing for them to beat the reigning champs.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to have to be clicking on all cylinders in this game. And, you know, you mentioned the fans. I think they're more of an X factor than people realize, maybe even the fans of Thompson Bowling Arena. Kelly Harper got on that PA mic after Texas and said, "You matter," because, man, you could tell in her voice and her passion of saying that she honestly thought that the fans were a huge reason they won that game, you know? So, you know, the 10-point fourth quarter comeback, it's hard to do in women's basketball with only 10-minute quarters. So, you know, it was a huge performance there and backed by the fans, and that's what's going to happen, I think, on Saturday. But who is your X factor in this game? You know, you talk about the blanket defense, the explosive offense. Who's going to be the X factor all around?
It's going to be Tamari Key. I think so. I think this is going to be a game where Tamari Key is going to be able to shine, you know, get her in that paint, find those points, those open look layups. Tamari Key will be able to make them. Tamari Key gets in there, finds those offensive rebounds, gets those defensive rebounds. Tamari Key is going to be a huge contributor for this team. And if she has a bad game, I don't really see a good path for Tennessee to win.
Right.
Tamari Key is going to be vital. I think this game lives and dies with Tamari Key.
Absolutely. I agree, because you can't expect the Lady Vols to just become automatic from three. They haven't been all year, or even, you know, just from normal field goal range, you know, jumpers, and she scores a lot of points that way, getting offensive boards like we mentioned earlier, and she allows the offense to find its footing early in the game, playing her awesome defense. So I completely agree. Tamari Key's the X factor. Riley, let's put you on the spot here. What's your score prediction?
This is a tough one. This is a hard one for me. I'm going to go 65-64 Stanford.
Oh, so the Lady Vols get their first loss of the season. Riley says they'll be 9-1 next time we do a podcast, huh?
I think so. I think this will be the heartbreaker for the Lady Vols. It'll be close. I just don't know if they can pull it out against Stanford. They've shown they can be a really good team. And like I said, they just haven't been hitting on those threes. And that's going to be important. So I really do hope they prove me wrong here. I want to see them hit those threes. I want to see them win this game so bad. So, you know, if we beat Stanford, UConn next.
Yeah.
You want to see that. So hopefully they can hit on those threes, but I just don't think it'll be enough. You know, the underneath points, the paint points, I don't think it'll be enough. I think you might see some more turnovers from those guards trying to get it to Tamari Key. So, and that I know turnovers have been something that they've struggled with and from time to time. You know, it's not just a persistent issue, but certain teams will find holes, and those holes that they get exploited. So if they can lock up that offense, make sure they don't turn the ball over, I think they can have a really good chance at winning this game if they can hit those threes and be secure with the ball. But I don't know if it'll be enough to beat Stanford.
Yeah, and you know, let's just a little bit about Stanford. Everybody, obviously, they're the reigning national champions, very good program, and you know, it was big when Texas beat them earlier on in the season. That's why everyone, you know, was kind of concerned maybe about the Texas UT game, and you know, you knew it was going to be close, but Texas had just beaten Stanford. Well, since then, Stanford went to Washington and beat Gonzaga, and then they've had three straight wins against ranked teams coming into this game with Indiana, South Florida, and Maryland. So they're on a hot streak coming into TBA. But man, Riley, there's been so many times I've thought the Lady Vols were going to lose a game at halftime, even in the third quarter, even in the fourth quarter. I don't know if I can pick them to lose a game right now. But I see what you're saying. It's going to be really tough, but I don't know what to think because, like I said, I'm going to have to pick the Lady Vols to win because you just see them do it time and time again. It's like they have an allergy to losing. So I'm going to say maybe an overtime win, maybe a 65-64, just the other way around, the Lady Vols win. I don't have a definitive score prediction, but I'm going to say Tennessee wins close yet again to keep this season rolling. And shout out to Tennessee for being ranked seventh. The best ranking since 2018 when they were under Holly Werlich, really telling to what Kelly Harper is building here. And without Ray Burrell being ranked seventh, this point in the season is just special.
I agree with you. I mean, so many people wrote these Vols off, or these Lady Vols off, at the start of the season when Ray Burrell went down. Right. So many people were like, okay, they barely squeaked it out against, I believe it was Southern Illinois, right? And
Southern Illinois is game one. Yeah. And then they beat UCF, and then they were almost going to lose to South Florida, and they come back, and then the rest of its history, you know? So,
right.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, that's going to do it for this episode of the Volunteer Country on SI Podcast. We'll definitely be back on here before the holidays. I'll try to get Matt back on here to talk some recruiting. You know, signing day is Wednesday, going to be a huge day for the Vols. There's a lot of names circling around. But Riley and I are going to continue to bring you guys some basketball coverage throughout the season. I'm excited to have my guy Riley on here with me moving forward. And Riley, speaking of, what's your rest of the week plans, my guy?
Oh, man. Chilling out, more or less, you know, enjoying my break.
Yeah.
You know, watching some sports.
Yep.
You know, I've had the Monday night football game going over here on my TV over to my left.
Oh, what's the score? What's the score?
I believe Rams just scored, so it's about 19 to 10, maybe.
Oh, wow, man.
I haven't been paying too much attention.
Yeah, I had a feeling LA would knock them off. It just felt like they were due. But yeah, everybody, thank you guys for listening to us here, allowing Riley and I to do what we love, and that is to talk Tennessee sports. Be sure and follow Riley at Riley Haltom on Twitter. That's RileyHaltom. You can also give Volunteer Country on SI a follow on Twitter at VR2 on SI. And of course, follow your host at Jack Foster TV. I will be in attendance for Lady Vols Stanford on Saturday, bringing you guys full coverage. For Riley Haltom, I'm Jack Foster. We'll catch all of you beautiful people next time.